Welcome to Nature Now, an original production by KPTZ volunteers. Nature Now is a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of NatureNow at kptz.org.
It's the first week of May, and it's the sixth week of the governor's Stay Home, Stay Healthy order. I am so grateful to be living on the beautiful Quimper Peninsula in our resilient and creative Port Townsend community. I'm your host, Nan Evans, and today I invite you all to share the experience of the natural world around us via the brand new Jefferson Land Trust virtual learning program. It's complete with virtual nature walks, study groups, special talks, and inviting things to do in your very own neighborhood. So with me today, and we're using Zoom for this recording, are the two creative prime movers of the new program, naturalists Heather Harding and Rebecca Karanoski. Welcome, Heather and Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Last Friday was the 1st of May. I joined a group for the very first episode of Nature in Your Neighborhood. It was titled Seeing and Hearing Local Birds. This week on Nature Now, we're going to have a look into the excitement ahead and to invite any interested listeners to join the next virtual nature walk. And one of the suggested activities for the Nature in Your Neighborhood program is to choose a local bird species. Maybe one that you hear frequently, and it'll be the focal species that you'll spend the next 8 weeks learning all you can about it. Here is my chosen focal species. Well, and I'll share a little bit more about this bird later in the program, but first let's talk with naturalist Heather and Rebecca. So let's just start with the basics. Heather, in a few words, can you try to capture the essence of this new program?
In Nature in Your Neighborhood, which is the name of the program, we are trying to offer an opportunity for our community to get out in nature with the support of naturalists who are experts in their field and also connect with one another as part of a remedy for the disconnection that we are feeling through this quarantine.
And what inspired this approach?
It was inspired by a couple of things. So number one, of course, the stay home, stay healthy order left us all at home with a lot of time
to find something
new to do. And with the unfortunate cancellation of the Tidelands to Timberline Natural History Program that the Land Trust normally runs in the spring, we had quite a few volunteers who were ready to jump on to something new, and this program was born out of that.
When we had a conference call with Stewardship Director Eric Kinfisher and myself with Tidelands Timberline deciding whether to cancel it or not before it was obvious that we were going to have to cancel it, we started the conversation about what we could do instead of that. And at that time, it was just a big question mark. And I thought about it for the next couple of weeks. I've been working on Tidelands to Timberline for the last 8 years as one of the founders and coordinators and instructors. And so I let that open space fill in with ideas about how to create a new program that could be online, and then just pitched it to the Land Trust. And that's the birth of this Nature in Your Neighborhood program.
Well, and I have to sort of step in and say, I took the Tidelands to Timberland class, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, loved it. And it's so popular. People register as soon as it's open. It fills up really quickly because, of course, it's a hands-on, face-to-face program with what, maybe, I don't know, 18 people or so. I was sad when I first thought about having to cancel that program and then the Nature in Your Neighborhood program you all put together. And I know that it got a tremendous response. How many folks do you think have signed up for it?
We're up to just shy of 400 people who have signed up to be a participant in some way.
Wow. So what are you hoping to provide for the participants?
We want to give them a chance to get support for their nature explorations, because a lot of these subjects are new to people, and we have a lot of different ways that we're doing that, but we have the present Zoom events in which we are letting people learn about the different subjects in nature from lead naturalists, experts, and they can also ask questions through our Nature in Your Neighborhood with Jefferson Land Trust Facebook group. And we have an email address to studygrouphelp@saveland.org. And these are three ways, including a discussion group, that people can be a community together. So we're trying to offer people not just information. In fact, that's kind of low on the list, but lots of opportunity to connect with one another.
Yeah, I'll just add, you mentioned there, Nan, that, you know, there are so many people that are participating in this program. And that's, you know, one of the many silver linings that we are finding is that we are able to invite the participants in this program to a trail that extends for miles where you can hear the leader perfectly loud and clear no matter where you are. So it gives us an opportunity to really expand beyond that small group of people that join together each year to something much larger and, like Heather said, more community-based.
Well, I will add, on Friday, which was the first class, I really enjoyed the fact that I could see across the top of my Zoom some of the various people who were participating. And I love being able to kind of scroll through that and see familiar faces and friends and people I didn't know at all. So it felt like a big, wonderful local community. And then when we broke out into little breakout groups, it was like, wow, I got to meet some new people who I really like, and hope that there'll be a way I can find to keep up that contact. So tell us a little bit now back to how you put the program together and how it's structured and what are the various pieces of it. Heather, you started to talk about that, but Rebecca, tell me more about how it's structured.
Sure. So every Friday, we will have what we're calling a virtual nature walk. And so the one that you just participated in, Nan, seeing and hearing local birds, was led by two naturalists, Dave Rue and Ken Wilson. And in the virtual nature walk, it is an interactive experience where we're not just presenting information, but we're really trying to make a multi-sensory experience similar to what you would have if you were following someone on a nature trail. So each Friday, we will have a topic that is presented in the virtual nature walk. And then the following Friday, participants will have an opportunity to join in a discussion group on that same topic. So this coming Friday, we will discuss birds, and participants will be able to share with their friends and neighbors about the experiences that they've had in their sit spot or participating in some of the different activities that we have suggested or that our naturalists have suggested as a way to, again, enhance that community experience. And then following that discussion, we will start our new topic.
And then you also talked about, and I've forgotten the phrase that's used, but the Wednesday event.
Yeah, so those are called Extending Your Reach, and they are things that we just couldn't pass up that didn't necessarily fit into the flow of a virtual nature walk. But we have some really brilliant folks who were willing and able to give presentations, so we consider them to be like bonus content.
You know, one of the things that really thrills me about this program, and it's a priority for Nature Now as a program as well, is the opportunity to get out in our neighborhoods, to look around, see what we can see. And I love the phenomenon of when you start looking, you just see more and more and more. And I was encouraged from last Friday, start hearing and hear more and more. So tell me some examples of some of your subject areas and some of the activities you're going to be doing.
For the virtual nature walks, we have a list of different subjects. And our criteria for choosing what those subjects were is to have them all be accessible and available in people's backyards. So things like birds, which everybody has in their backyard, and trees will be next week's topic. And then we're going to have insects and ferns, amphibians and reptiles, shrubs, herbaceous plants, and mammals. So we usually have shorelines and subalpine and marine component to tidelands to timberline, but we took all those out because they're not in people's backyards. So that's one of the biggest changes that we made to accommodate the stay home, stay healthy ordinance right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about being accessible. So those are the Friday topics.
You know, it's accessible and it's local and anybody can do it. And it really, I hope it just opens people's eyes and interests and triggers a few passions here and there.
Yeah, I'll just mention that the extending your reach topics also include things like observing as a naturalist, geology of the Quimper Peninsula, coastal geomorphology, marine mammals, and wildlife tracking.
Oh, fun, fun. One of the things that was talked about last Friday was to find a sit spot. And we've certainly talked about sit spots on Nature Now in the past. And some listeners may remember an interview with Scott Britton, and it was a few years ago, where we talked a lot about a sit spot. What is a sit spot? And why are you encouraging people to find one?
The sit spot is the foundation for the Tidelands to Timberline Jefferson Land Trust field course. And we are encouraging people to find one because it is a way for people to get to the very basics of nature observation by sitting in one place and observing. So what it is, it's just a location that the most important criteria is that it is close to people's homes. And the reason for that is that they are more likely to go there. And going there and sitting down for a period of time, 20 minutes is the least amount of time we recommend, but it really is any time that you have available, is really the way you're going to start, as you were saying, Nan, see more and more. You start seeing one thing and then you continue to see it more out of different senses, your hearing and your vision. We encourage people to use all of their senses. So with all of the screen time that we're getting and our inside lives, sometimes we can forget the most basic skills of observation.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott Brinton, who you mentioned, has so much to offer about sit spots. And he's been coming into our Tidelands to Timberline course for years and sharing his experience with us. So we're trying to find a few things that tie us together as a community. And the sit spot is one that we're just going to be like a broken record saying every week, hey, can you go to your sit spot for at least 20 minutes and this week and just give people that bar. We think it's pretty reasonable that they can do that. And
yeah,
then we can share our experiences.
Yeah, I want to reinforce something you said, which was find a spot near your home. When I took the class, I found a spot. It was two blocks away, a really easy walk. And it was down on the beach. And I loved my spot. But I found I didn't go there often enough. So this time around, I found a spot in my yard and spent, I don't know how much time, but a lot of time yesterday morning, just sitting out, listening to the birds. I'm not a very good bird by ear person at all. And one of the naturalists on Friday, and I believe it was Dave Rue, said, try to identify the number of different species you hear. Don't worry about what bird it is. Just identify the number of different species. And I thought that was a wonderful challenge. And I've got all kinds of questions to ask him when we get a chance to ask him about that. I also know that you focused on adult programs in past years, but you're expanding that audience this year, aren't you? You're including kids and families. Tell me about that.
And that is totally new to Tidelands at Timberline. We haven't focused on that in the past, but we recognize the need that families have right now because the parents are with their kids who are not in school and needing resources and even more importantly, needing connection to other families.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're basically have a forum called the Families Activities that is full of ideas on every topic. So this week, we're doing family topics on birds. So like make your own cardboard binoculars, all sorts of different ideas for kids to find words to describe the bird sounds they hear. So basically the same directives that we're giving to the adults, but in ways that children can access that information and make it real for them. And I am, as well as a professional guide and naturalist, I'm also a certified Waldorf teacher. So I'm drawing from that experience to put that program together with others in the community.
Fun. So I want to kind of end our very short talk here and ask you about, as you think about the nature of the neighborhood around your homes, what inspires you? And if you'd like, share an observation and what you've learned from just the nature around your own home.
I love this question. So one of the things that I find so inspiring about what we're doing right now is we're all grounding into the spaces around us. So rather than loading up our cars and driving to Olympic National Park or elsewhere, we live in such a beautiful region and there's so much to explore. Instead, we are finding new hidden wonders that are in our own backyards and neighborhoods. And I think that there's something really special about getting to know your animal and plant neighbors. One of the things that I have been observing in my sit spot over the last month or so has been a black-capped chickadee that keeps returning to one of the planters that I have wrapped in burlap. And the chickadee is pulling out the fibers and taking it off to build its nest. Mm-hmm. And it's just this lovely experience to watch this bird working so hard to pull these fibers out of this burlap. And I feel very grateful to have an opportunity to slow down and to be at home to get to experience things like that in my own yard.
That is a wonderful silver lining. Heather, what would you like to share?
I would like to share about the experience I have had in the last 3 days of hearing birds come back for the spring since last year. The Pacific Slope Flycatcher and the Swainson's Thrush and the Wilson's Warbler have all start singing in the last 3 days. And I usually hear them for the first time when I'm laying in bed. And my heart just gets 10 times bigger when I hear them. Oh, you're back, you know, from their southern tropical winter homes. And I think about at that moment how much joy that gives me. And I just feel motivated and compelled to teach people the skills to identify bird songs so they can feel a similar level of joy.
Wow, that's wonderful. Please teach me more bird songs. I'm a hard learner on this one. I will share with you, my husband is a musician and he's not particularly a naturalist. His memory for bird songs is amazing. And I think it's that part of his brain that listens to melodies and syncopations and pitch. And it's marvelous. Heather and Rebecca, I'm just inspired by what you have to say and am anxious to go out in my spot again tomorrow. Since we're kind of at the end of our time for the radio show, I want to encourage people to learn more about the Nature in Your Neighborhood program and even sign up to participate. And to do that, go to the Jefferson Land Trust website, and that's saveland.org/neighborhood. Can one of you sort of give me the sort of specific information? What days of the week, how long, and what time?
So we will be meeting every Friday throughout May and June. Our study group discussions will begin at 3 p.m. We'll open the Zoom room at 2:45 so folks can come in and get settled. And our virtual nature walks will start at 4 p.m. We also will have our Extending Your Reach presentations that will begin at 3 p.m. on select Wednesdays throughout May and June. And you can go to that website that Nan just mentioned, saveland.org/neighborhood, to find the full schedule.
You make available to participants just a whole host of resources, which I find really exciting. As you can tell, all three of us want you who are listening to think about what you might gain from participating in this program. And really, you can participate as you wish. You can participate in weeks that interest you. And even at times, if you can't make a Friday afternoon, they record the Zoom programs and you can pick it up and listen to it at a time that might be more convenient. So I want to thank the two of you so much. First, for having this brilliant idea, and then for making it real, and for joining me on Nature Now this week. Thanks to Heather Harding and Rebecca Koronowski.
Thanks, Nan.
I'm going to ask Nora to play the mystery sound again. That was the sound of my focal species for the next 2 months, the spotted towhee. These are handsome birds. They have a smart dark brown or black head, dark brown in the female and juveniles, black in the males, a warm rufous-colored sidings, black wings, a tail with white spots, and a white belly. I see them regularly in my yard, rummaging around in the leaf litter for yummy morsels of insects and other arthropods such as millipedes, spiders, plus seeds and berries. And when I go out to fill my bird feeders, I often hear their calls as they scurry around, sort of around the outskirts, sort of in a circle, as I go towards the bird feeders. I know they're just waiting for me to leave, so that they can scrounge around on the ground below the feeders and even partake of the bird seed at the feeder. I've given myself a challenge this spring, and that's to see if I can spot a nest in the shrubbery. That's it for this episode of Nature Now. We hope you've enjoyed our program of authentic and eclectic news and information about our natural community where we live. Sound engineer and editor is Nora Petrich. Nature Now airs at 12:05 p.m. on Wednesdays, with repeats here on KPTZ at 91.9 FM on Thursdays at 5:05 p.m. and Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Recent podcasts are also available on the KPTZ website. Thanks for listening. I couldn't resist. The ending music for this week's show is Mr. Rogers' theme song, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? And so we're neighbors again today. I'm glad to be with you.
Today